Welcome to Now Church. But so glad you're here with us today. Don't forget to like, share, and comment on our social media and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also visit nowchurch.com or download the Church Center app to get to know us better. Thanks for being here.
Today we're getting into the inerrant, the inspired, the infallible Word of God. Open your Bibles if you will. If you have your Bible, say, I like the Bible. Okay, very good. See, I love the Word of God. It is inerrant, it's inspired, it is infallible, and it is the way we live. Today we're continuing our theme called Run to Win. I call this message Building a Winning Culture. Building a Winning Culture. If you'll open up to Hebrews chapter 11, we'll get there in a few moments. We've been setting our 12 stones as an altar to honor the Lord, 12 foundation core values of our church that kind of make us who we are. And so this month we're dealing with that. We're talking about our distinguishing characteristics. Church is not the building or a steeple or a platform. Church is the gathering together of Christ's followers around common mission, vision, and values. When we hold those things together, the rest of it fades away, you know, when we can focus on that. We talk a lot about vision here. We talk about the mission statements on the wall. But this month, we're really drilling down into the core values of that make us who we are. What do we value? What are the characteristics of things? You know, every family has core values. I know growing up, my parents were both, my dad was a professor, my mother was an elementary school teacher, and they valued education. You had to know, you had to learn. This was a core value. And then the other thing was truth. Truth. We had a whole thing about with my parents, if you tell the truth, even if you mess up, it'll be less painful if you tell the truth than if you lie to try to get your way around it. And so every family has their own cultural values. We need to know what the values are of the house that we're in and part of. Amen. Core values help build healthy church culture. Culture is the things you don't see. Culture is the flow of the service, the presence of God, the way we sing, you know, the type of things, the way PL leads, and those are culture things. Our 3-week challenge, that's a culture builder. That's a slide on the wall and a welcoming statement to say, look, if you come 3 weeks in a row, just give God a chance. And it became an on-ramp, as we've been doing that the last few years. It's an on-ramp to our church. It says, hey, it's not hard to get involved here. You don't have to be a stranger. Just come 3 weeks in a row. Just see. And hey, here's our guarantee with our core, with that promise. If you come 3 weeks in a row and it's not for you, you say, well, this isn't really my flavor. We'll help you find a church, a Bible-believing church in the area that may be more suitable to you. We'll help you. We're not trying to just corral you. We're trying to build the kingdom of God and help you to spiritually grow, like we said. Amen? So that's our guarantee. Pastor Chris, we can all help you with that kind of thing. As we talk about these values, I want to talk about this. When we celebrate what we value, we actually attract what we celebrate. I'm going to say it again, because you might have missed it. When we celebrate what we value, we actually attract what we celebrate. If you love something and you naturally talk about it, and if you naturally talk about it, you naturally attract it. If you secretly or overtly or covertly despise something in your heart, it'll come out of your mouth and you'll speak against it and you'll actually repel that thing. That's why, and we'll talk more about that next week or the next couple weeks and the values, but that's really, really an important principle. You attract what you celebrate. I want to introduce something new to you for the first few moments today. It's not one of our core values, but something we've been working on this year behind the scenes as a culture builder. And we haven't told you about it. We've been doing it secretly behind the scenes as leaders, and that is this, and I'll tell you more about it in a moment. But here it is. Cultivate wins by celebrating wins. Now let me explain that. Too many times in life, we get excited about big things, big victories, but we don't get excited about small things. We get excited for a minute, but then we go, but I need so much more. I want to encourage you Have you ever heard of the debt snowball? Years ago, probably 25 years ago, my wife and I set in our hearts, we're going to get out of debt, all credit card debt, and just have a mortgage. And so we set about it. It took a while, but here's what we did. We did a debt snowball. In other words, in the beginning, we took all the debts, and we were shocked when you actually start writing them in. Oh, my gosh. They all add up. And so we said, okay, the smallest one, instead of paying all these payments and extra payments, we're going to put more money toward the smallest one first, and we're going to get rid of that one quick. And then when that one's done, you feel, oh man, look at that, and you celebrate. And then you go to the next one. Okay, now we're going to take that money we had on that plus that, we're going to put it on this one. And within a couple of years, we were completely debt free out of all credit card debt. Now, in your life, you've got to build momentum for victory in the same way. It snowballs. Victory helps create victory. Winning helps create winning. Helps create winning. Understand this. My wife and I've been honest about this for years. We believe in functional medicine. We go to a doctor to prevent stuff, not just to treat stuff, okay? So we go for labs probably about every 6 months. And we're just accountable with our team of healthcare professionals. And the last couple of years, one of my numbers has been higher than it should be, just out of the blue. And I was like, no, I don't like this. So a few months ago, April, I said, okay, I'm going to do something about this. This number has gotten high. It's nothing life-threatening. I'm not even going to tell you what it is, because otherwise 84 grandmas are going to come to me and give me advice on what to do. And I love you. I love that you love me. But I'm pursuing. Okay. So anyway, but regardless of what it is, anyway, the number was too high. So April, I said, okay, I'm going to really behave even on vacation. We start eating a little better. I've always worked out. I've worked out almost every day of my life since I'm 35 years old. And so I love to work out. That's not my problem. Some of you, that's your problem. That's not my problem. My problem is I enjoy dessert. That's what I enjoy. That's what I enjoy. You know, if you spell stressed backwards, it spells dessert. Did you know that? Anyway, so for me, that's kind of my weakness. And so, anyway, I worked my butt off, and then I took labs again early part of July, and the numbers came down, but only a little bit, and I was so disappointed. I was like, wait a second. I've been starving myself. I'm working out and trying to lose some. What is going on? And so when I had my appointment with my doctor, and she said to me, let's take the win. I said, what do you mean? She goes, you're looking at it wrong. So here I am, an optimist, and I'm telling you about celebrating some wins. She's telling me, you need to celebrate. It came down. It came down. That's what we were trying to do. Now we're trending in the right direction. Just because it didn't all fix in 3 months, you're looking at this wrong. And I thought, this is somebody it doesn't even necessarily know the Lord, but they're reminding me that you've got to celebrate the little wins to get to the big wins. She said, let's take the win here. We're going in the right direction. Now church has experienced more than a few wins and losses in 36 years. Focusing on the victories has helped us overcome the hard times, but we've been focusing on what I call this, cultivating wins. Celebrate wins according to our core values. So a couple weeks ago, gave you the first two core values, connection and prayer, right? Do you see somebody that's connecting in? You meet somebody over in the Legacy building, and you're talking, and they say, I'm really connecting in. It's good to get to know people. Share that with somebody in your department, somebody that you're working with, and they get it to the pastors. We want to celebrate those things. We don't tell names. You don't even notice it. But we've been saying these things since February and trying to create this fresh culture of celebrating wins and cultivating those wins according to our core values. You've got to cultivate it. You've got to look for them. You see somebody who says, boy, I finally came to prayer. And I got it. I understand what he means when talking about praying and connecting with God that way. Tell your department leaders. They tell the pastor. We highlight wins from the platform. Someone's Someone spiritually, somebody says, I'm really growing spiritually. They just come, you know, like we had the men's Bible study was yesterday. And we had almost 40 guys get together, have breakfast together, Bible study. And I mean, the pictures, if you look at them online, it's fantastic. What a great group of guys. And you know what? The church can never get stronger than our men's foundation. The men, I'm so proud of you men for getting involved. They're hungry for the word, Pastor Chris is telling us. And we're very excited. He and I started that together back in 1990, 36 years ago. And really excited about that. But somebody's growing spiritually. Somebody's reaching others. Pass it on. Get the information. Encourage. Share the story. Tell your department. Somebody's got to know. When I was at Mercy City Church back in Lincoln, Nebraska, back in February preaching, they were sharing with me some of this that's kind of shifted the culture of their church. I said, tell me more about it. We'll give you a couple examples. They said, my friend Pastor Matt Erickson said, he said, last week, an older couple was coming. They were driving into the church, and they couldn't find a parking place. He said they were looking. By the way, Mercy City is a huge, growing church now. But they have terrible parking problems. They just don't have enough parking spaces. They're in a neighborhood, and they have people park all over the neighborhood. It's amazing. One of the guys on the parking team happened to notice that they were about to leave. And he went over and knocked on the window and said, hey, please stay right here. I'm going to get somebody from our dream team, like our Now crew. I'm going to get somebody from our dream team to move their car. You can park right up front. And so he got them to stay, just caught them before they left. They came in that day, and they received Jesus as Lord of their lives. Now, when Pastor Matt found out, he shared it from the pulpit, basically said, I want to thank the parking lot guys for paying attention for what people are doing. See, it's not just the end of the service or what Pastor Chris did earlier where you get a response to raise your hand. Listen, everybody, parking lot team is a ministry. It's a ministry, and we need you to see it as a ministry, not just, oh, I'm out here in the heat. I'm gonna drain, you know, you get over here. Hey, you go over there. It's not that. It is equally, that guy led people to Christ. Are you hearing me? He reached others. Amen. Give it up for the parking lot team and our parking lot team over here. We appreciate the Merediths so much. We got Merediths coming out of our nose. We got so many Merediths. They're involved here. We got Matt is in charge of the parking now this year, and it's just gone with the three services, gone to another level. But pay attention. You never know. What if that couple would have gone, driven out, and said, well, that was our last chance. We're never going to try a church again. Here we try. We get up early, come here, can't even find a parking place. But instead, somebody paid attention and open that door. That's a win. That's a win for the culture. That's a win for the house, right? Another story they told me when I was there, they said the last few weeks, after Christmas, this single mom with four kids and a really rough life came to church, gave her heart to Jesus, and she just told one of our people that was ministering to her last week, she came for prayer, and he said, that woman told, she said this, she said, I'm alone. I'm raising these kids alone. There's nobody else in my life. Nobody to take care of them. She said, until this point, I've had nobody to trust my kids to. She said, for the first time in my life, I come here and I feel confident because I've met your children's workers that I can release my kids and they're going to be cared for. They're not going to be just babysat. They're going to be cared for. They're going to be taught. They're going to learn some. They're going to get some stuff. And she said, I'm in here and I feel peace in my time being here alone and them being in the other areas of the building for the first time since I started having kids. She said, I've never had a moment to myself. What a victory for the children's department. What a victory for the kids' ministry to say, hey, you know, the children here, by the way, we don't babysit your kids. Even the little ones, we're always imparting and praying and worshiping and believing and instructing, and they're getting something. They're not just getting patted on the head and given a lollipop. They're given something much, much more. Do you see that? What a victory that is? Can I tell you that by the time I was there the second week of February, they said both of those departments have had a surge in people volunteering since we highlighted it from the pulpit, because they saw the purpose of children's ministry in a different way, and they saw the purpose of parking lot ministry in a different way. By the way, both of those departments, we need people here. Hint, hint. Hint, hint. Could you use a few more volunteers in the parking lot, Matt? Can you keep them cool out there? Never mind. No, I'm gonna. Celebrate wins. Pass it on. I shared this a few years ago. Hummingbirds are amazing. My dad likes to have a little birds feeder outside of his porch window in certain seasons. He likes butterfly gardens and stuff like this, but he loves to set up this thing for hummingbirds. Then he'd watch these hummingbirds come in, land in there, feed on some food. You know, hummingbirds, God created them to look for sweet nectar all day long, every day. That's their purpose. And they find it. But there's another bird with a completely different mindset and a completely different purpose called a buzzard or a vulture. And they're disgusting. They spend their whole life looking for dead things. They spend their whole lives looking for carcasses, roadkill. They love it. Now, did you know that it actually performs a service for the rest of us? Because they actually clean up all that death, decay, and destruction, all the germs and bacteria and stuff that goes along with that. But they have a purpose, even though they're disgusting. Hummingbirds and vultures each get exactly what they're looking for in life, either the sweet things or the dead things. What are you cultivating? Are you cultivating the sweetness of the truth? Are you cultivating the stench of negativity or gossip? The word says, whatever things are true, noble, praiseworthy, virtuous, think on these things, and the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Understand, you got to feed yourself. So will you help us? Will you help us cultivate these wins? Will you help us share these wins? When you meet somebody and you have a little story, we don't need you to write a book. We just need a little paragraph. You don't even have to tell us the name. Just tell us, met somebody and corresponded with one of our core values or something we're standing for as a body. It'll bring a shift to the culture. How many will do that for me? How many will be available to do that for me? Three of you. Thank you so much. Well, thanks everybody. You'll have a great day today. Jeez. First service was more active today than you are today. Wow. You need to wake up. Everybody smile. I'll give you two more core values today. Are you still here?
Yeah.
Okay. Number five, core value number five, faith life. We believe what the word says, that the just shall live by faith. We believe that your faith can grow or shrink. God gives to every person a measure of faith. What are you doing with your measure? If you want to grow spiritually, you have to grow in grace and faith. The everyday life of a Christ follower works on the kingdom principle of faith. Seek first the kingdom, which is God's way of doing what he does, and all these other things will be added to you. What is the kingdom of God? If I'm going to seek that, what is it? Anybody have a smartphone? Most of you have a smartphone. Anybody have a dumb phone still? Anybody still have a flip phone or a dumb phone or something? Anyway, in the smartphones, every few months, you've got to do what? You have to update it. Why? Because it shifts and updates the OS, the operating system. God's OS is called the kingdom. The kingdom of God is simply God's operating system. It's the way God does what he does. And the Bible says when you seek first the way God does what he does and you lean into that, that's called faith. That's trusting him to do what he said in his word. Everything in the kingdom of God works through faith. Everything. Even your salvation, your relationship with God, it all works by faith. You have to believe, you have to trust God, and you have to speak his word and stand on his promises. We have access to everything God promises in his word by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. So what is it? What is biblical faith? It's more than head knowledge. It's more than just, yeah, I believe in God. The Bible says demons believe in God. Doesn't make them saved. We've got to trust God. It's a leaning on God. It's a dependence on God. It's an acknowledgement. It's not intellectualism. It's an active. So here's what I say. Faith at its core is an active trust in the person of Jesus and the promises of God. It's based on his written word, the Bible. It's not based on opinions. It's based on this book. It's based on Genesis to Revelation. It's based on what God has said and what he is saying from what he has said. He's never going to add to this. He's going to speak from this to your heart, okay? The Bible says it this way. Hebrews 11:1 from the Amplified says this. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not yet revealed to the senses. The Message Bible says it this way. Faith is our handle on what we can't see yet. So basically, if you're cooking something in heaven, the handle is on earth. And the handle is the Bible. And you can actually believe and trust that God's cooking something. He's doing something in that pot, in what you're asking, what you're believing for. But this is your handle. If you ever give up on this, you released it. You don't have it. You don't have manifestation. Every promise will manifest in God's time by your faith and by God's promise. Faith trusts God's promises more than our current circumstances. So here's what I love. So it's the title deed. Back in the day, when cars cost hundreds or a couple thousand dollars, my first car was a 1975 Dodge Dart Sport. It looked like a Plymouth Duster. It was a sister car to the Plymouth Duster, and it was my first car. I bought it for around $1,300. It was used, but it was, you know, only had maybe 20,000 miles on it. $1,300. My parents said, you raise half, we'll pay half. So I worked my butt off trying to get that car. Got that car. Now, back in those days, when you paid that thing off, they would give you something called the pink slip. They give you the title deed. Now, if somebody gave you a title deed but didn't give you the car, you had the promise that it's yours, but you just didn't have the car yet. They said, we'll give you the car at the end of the month, but it's your car. I'm giving you this car. The Bible says that God gives us his promises by faith. The word is his title deed, that we are in fact the owners, the heirs, the joint heirs with Christ, the heirs of salvation. We're part of God's family, and we have the promises from God's word, and we have the faith. It's the title deed. I've got the promise. Now I'm believing for the manifestation. It may take minutes, days, weeks, months, years, or decades, but God is faithful. How many believe in God for something that's beyond you? You can't make it happen. You believe in God? That's a good place to be. That's faith. Just shall live by faith. Faith, you've got to believe God more than current circumstances. Like the child who's been promised ice cream as a reward, they will remind you. Growing up in Sanford, Florida, down by Orlando, when we moved there, there was one family doctor in town, Dr. McDaniel. I think he was already 100 years old. And Dr. McDaniel, he kind of moved like Tim Conway as the old man. I don't know if some of you know that. Anyway, when I went to Dr. McDaniel to get a shot, right on the same road about half a mile away from Dr. McDaniel's office was Dairy Queen. And my parents said, if you're good with this shot or whatever he wants you to do, we're going by Dairy Queen for your chocolate vanilla swirl chocolate dip cone. That was my go-to back in the day. I'm ready to go to Twisty Treat right now, actually, no. Anyway, that was my go-to. I promise you that the whole time that Dr. McDaniel's nurse was ready to give me that needle in my arm or my butt, I was saying, hey, we're going to Dairy Queen, right? The Bible says, God says in his word, get to know my promises and remind me, state your case. Remind me what I already promised you. That's called faith. That's called faith. Remind me, God said. God knows what he promised, but he didn't know if you know what he promised. And you can't have anything you don't know about that he promised. Faith is released by what you believe in your heart and the words you speak from your mouth. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God's raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will have a sozo salvation deliverance experience with God. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation or manifestation. Faith clearly involves the heart as the core and the mouth as the declaration. You can't take hold of the promises you don't know about. Read your Bible. Faith life provides identity in Christ, the platform for spiritual growth. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Amen? Amen. That's the promise of God. Grow your faith like you grow your muscles. Sometimes when you lift something heavier than you do it in repetition, your arms will begin to hurt. But your muscles will grow, but they have to break down first. That's the way it is in your life. You got to break down to build up in your faith. Say amen. Amen. Number six and last. So we had this promise when we first started the church in 1990, May 1st, 1990. We had this promise. Yeah, you can put it on the screen. Did you put it up and take it down? That's fine. Impacting the nations. That's a part of our core values of this church. You say, Pastor, I've never been to a nation in my life. Well, neither had I. I mean, I hadn't been much. I traveled around as a as a teenager, but I hadn't done it for the Lord, I promise you. But in my mid-20s, when my wife and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, had this experience with God, within a few weeks, I had this moment. I was listening to a great preacher called Derek Prince. He's in heaven now, but he was a mighty man of God. Listen to this is how long ago it was, a tape. You remember cassette tapes? And I was listening to a cassette tape, and I'm not usually a bathtub guy, I'm usually a shower guy, but for some reason I was taking a bath, and I'm listening to Derek Prince, and he was in South Africa and talking to people in South Africa, and I'm telling you, the Spirit of God came upon me in that bathtub, and I said to my wife, hey, I just heard something from God. I think I'm supposed to go to the nations and preach the gospel. Well, there's only three problems with that. Number one, I wasn't a preacher. I was an insurance agent. Never preached. I'd only preached once at that point in my life. Number two, I said, God, I think I'm hearing right that I'm supposed to go to the nations, but I need some confirmation because I don't know anybody in the nations. How am I going to go? I'm an insurance agent. Remember the God. I thought you were going to send preachers. I'm not a preacher. I want to be. Feel called to be. Have no idea how that's going to happen. I'm an insurance agent. Number two, you know, I don't know anybody in the nations. Number three, and here's the most important part. God, remember, you called the wrong boy. I don't have any money. I don't have any money, God. And to all three of those things, God was completely silent. He did not respond to me one bit. He didn't, you know, Brother Summerall used to say to me, one of my mentors back in the day, say, God never answers stupidity. So when God's quiet, it's because he's not looking to argue. He asks you a question or he puts it out there. So I said, okay, God, if you're going to overcome these three things in my life, I guess you know who you're talking to. If you're just looking for a volunteer, I volunteer. And at that moment, I felt like God said, you're going to go to over 100 nations carrying the gospel. Within a few days, my pastor called me out of a crowd and said, you're going to preach the gospel to the nations. It was super, super clear. I thought because of this whole thing, I really felt something about South Africa. And I tried to even go 2 months later to South Africa, and it didn't work out. South Africa didn't turn out to be my first nation. It turned out to be my 50th nation. Exactly 50, which I felt was kind of prophetic. I didn't try to make that happen. That's when God opened the door. But when we started the church May 1st, 1990, I said to the church, we're going to impact the nations. We're not going to do traditional where we just raise up and twice a year we bring our old clothes together for a missions drive and we have missionaries come in that look all poor and beaten down and haggard and come in and show a few slides with children with big bellies and flies around their eyes. I feel like we're supposed to go and take people around the world on short-term missions, and this is part of us. And the 70 people in that room were completely quiet, just like God was. They didn't believe it either. Within, if you know my story, we had 70 people exactly the first night of our church starting. May 1st, 1990 was a Tuesday night. And within a few weeks, I'd preached up to 30 people. It was church growth and retro growth. It was not good. It was not great. But the point is, I became convinced that God wanted us to redefine missions and missionaries and send some ourselves. Jesus gave the Great Commission to all, go into all the world. And I want to submit this to you as I close. Jesus gave the Great Commission, said, every believer has a responsibility. You have a choice, though. Go or send someone in your place. You can go if you feel called to go. We're a church that does this. So here's the thing. 10 months into our church, our first missions trip was to Trinidad and Tobago, right at the bottom of the Caribbean. Incredible nation. The church, with every breathing individual, was about 140 people by that point, which was great. 36 people went on our first missions trip. That's over 25% of the church. Some on the first trip had never been on an airplane. Some had hardly ever been out of Ocala. And 36 people went on our first missions trip, and I just said, okay, God, you're going to do this. Well, this fall, I have the opportunity. I just booked flights the other day to Latvia, Riga, Latvia, and Vilnius, Lithuania, two Baltic nations. If you look at my world map of all the places I've been to 89 countries now, and I have this gaping hole in Western Europe. Northwest Europe, by the North Sea, Latvia and Lithuania. And God opened the door this year for me to go to those places. I've got great pastor friends and contacts that have opened the door there. And that's going to happen. My friends, that's going to be number 90 and 91, God willing. That's a tremendous opportunity. Yeah, give God the glory. All I did was raise my hand. All I did was say, okay, God, by faith, I received it. I began to tell people about it, and here we are. But you have to do something. I can't tell you how many people over the years have said, oh, I wish I could go on a missions trip, and they never go. You know who goes? Somebody says, I'm going to put down $20 or $50 or $100 on the trip. I'm believing to go. And I'm going to start raising money to go. Do you know, out of all those for the last 36 years, I would say over 95% of those people that believed and put action have gone with us to the nations. Today, we're about to send out our mission trip this year to Honduras. San Pedro Sula, a great, great place. Pastor Chris is leading the team. We want to pray for you. If you're part of our missions team going this week, would you stand up on your feet right now as we pray for you real quickly? Excellent. Some were here first service, some may be here third service. Very excited about your trip. I wish I could go. It didn't get to work out for me to go this year with you because Pastor Lindsay is invited next week to go to Mercy City Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. And we'll be praying for him third service. And so I want to be here in the pulpit. So anyway, but would you stretch your hands toward these precious folks? This is our representative this year. A team of 27, 10 of our people, 10 from Boston, Massachusetts, a sister church, Metro Church in Marlboro, Massachusetts, and 7 going with us for the first time from London, England, from Pastor Julian Melfi's church. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunities, the open doors. Thank you for the orphanages. Thank you for the home for troubled young people. Thank you for the the students are going to minister. Thank you for the children's ministry, Lord. Thank you for the kids, the 600 children that we're sending gifts and supplies and prizes to. Thank you, Lord, for open doors and open hands and open hearts. We send our team with the blessing of this house in Jesus' name to go into that place and carry Jesus to a generation of people that are desperate to know him. Lord, let our team minister to the missionaries and teach the Bible school students well. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We just thank you that their luggage makes it down there on time and back on time. And that you're going to keep them healthy, strong, unified. In Jesus' name, we bless you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you give it up for our precious missions team? Thank you, guys, for going. The Bible says this, Psalm 2:8, ask of me, God says, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. At one point, I just said, God, here I am, send me.
We're so glad you joined us today. Don't forget to like, share, and comment on our social media and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also visit nowchurch.com or download the Church Center app to get to know us better, view our calendar, and experience our online campus live or on demand. Thanks again, and see you soon.